Another moment occurred slightly later and was again characteristic. Young Herzen and a very close friend of his were walking along the Sparrow Hills on the northern outskirts of Moscow. And the cupolas glittered over the city of many churches, and a fresh breeze, he tells us, shook the leaves. And suddenly, with tears in their eyes, these two young men embraced and swore to sacrifice their lives to the struggle against injustice and evil. Here, too, thinking and feeling and suffering were all of a piece, characteristic of Intelligenti, in particular of Belinsky. This is also, of course, very true to the whole romantic ideal, to the ideal that true understanding comes from not mere thinking, not mere reason, but from deep intuitive insight, from feeling, even suffering, something the Slavophiles understood as well. And this combination of thinking and feeling pervaded Belinsky's life. Like other intelligenti, Belinsky was serious about everything. He was absolutely determined to refuse to separate private, ordinary trifles of life from the idea of ideas, from the world and life of ideas. Which meant, among other things, that if you happened to be visiting with Belinsky or invited him over for something to eat, when many people did, knowing that his personal life was much more modest and he couldn't afford to indulge people the way others could indulge him, it turns out that as a result he was sometimes a rather poor guest. A story is told to illustrate this, also told by Alexander Herzen, whose memoir called, by the way, Past in Thoughts, is the source of so much of what we know about the lives of the intelligentsia. One day, it was said, Belinsky was invited to dine with some friends during a Holy Week, during Easter week, and he noticed that Lenten dishes were being served. And he says to the host, since when have you become so devout? Remember, most of these intelligenti were rather critical of traditional religion. And the answer was, oh, don't worry, Vissarion, it's not for us, but you know, what would our servants think if we didn't eat Lenten dishes? Belinsky was outraged, stood up, knocked his chair back. This is the man who hates hypocrisy, and he declares, the servants, where are your servants? I'm going right now to tell them that they've been tricked. And you imagine yourselves to be free-minded. You're in the same boat with the czars and the priests and the slave owners. Goodbye. I eat no Lenten fare for instructive purposes. And he walks out. He was never light-hearted, although one should say he did occasionally get extremely drunk. These were not ascetic individuals, but nonetheless serious, nonetheless. And at all times, even when drunk, he was unrelenting in his search for truth. Another story to illustrate this, this time told by the famous writer Ivan Turgenev. Belinsky at this point was struggling, as many of his fellows were, with God, the question of God's existence. And Turgenev happened to be meeting with Belinsky at the time, and they were talking about it and in general enjoying this interesting argument about whether God existed. And Belinsky refused to talk about anything else. I mean, for days and days and days, it was his only subject, and people said he was practically in a fever over this question. And Turgenev joined in. And here are Turgenev's recollections. I was frankly affected by his sincerity and enthusiasm and carried away by the importance of the subject. But after spending 2 or 3 hours in conversation, I began to tire. The lightheartedness of youth took the upper hand. I thought of a walk or dinner. But Belinsky would not stop. There was no lightheartedness of youth with him. And he responded to Turgenev bitterly and in earnest, according to the recollection. He said, we have not solved the existence of God, and you want to eat. It's important to pay attention to this style, this manner, however bizarre it might seem to us, however exaggerated and dramatic it might seem. And it's important to pay attention to it, not only to understand Belinsky personally, but to understand a key aspect of the culture of this whole intelligentsia that would last for generations beyond. And another story illustrates this and how widespread it was, and it's characteristic. In this case, Herzen tells how he's visiting a friend of his, Vadim Pasek, not a very significant man, a Polish man interested in Polish liberation. They were enjoying a glass of Rhine wine when Herzen recalls, Vadim became more and more gloomy.